Okay, I want to introduce our guest speaker for today, Kevin. Kevin Borges is a adult pastor, young adult pastor, and college age pastor at the Gateway Community Church in Merced. He was my pastor years ago, and a good friend, a wonderful man. And Kevin, it's all yours.
Hey, thank you, Dave.
Bless you. Yeah.
Well, how are you all today? You can hold that. Great to be here. I'm going to just, is it all right if I stand out here with you? If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up to Proverbs. Proverbs, right there, about in the middle of the Bible. As Dave said, I was a youth pastor at First Baptist Church back when Dave and Barbara were there, and I did that for many years with their kids, and then I stayed at the church for a while, and then God just moved us and our family, and I landed doing college and young adults, which I didn't plan on doing, and I love it. I love it more. I mean, in youth ministry, I love youth ministry, but I don't. With college students, I don't have to worry about permission slips. I don't have to talk about parents, rides, none of that. All the administrative stuff is, I can just teach, and we can do our time together. So that's great. I am married to my wife, Tammy, for 30 years. We have three daughters. They are a little, thank you. I have two grandsons, and the last one just, the most recent one was born 3 weeks ago. And so the other one, our first grandson was born in August. So we're new at the grandparenting business and loving it so far and having a great time. I remember New Life Community Church from years ago because we used to measure up. If you played church softball, we would measure up against Pastor John. He was usually pitching, if I remember right. We wouldn't allow him to win at all costs. We would do everything in our power to beat John, Pastor John. So I've known Pastor John for most of the time that I've been in ministry, which is coming up on, it is about 30 years now for me. So it's a privilege to be here. And Devin was my intern in a college ministry and got to kick him out and let him go and do his life. So he's still in the middle of that, but I appreciate him very much. Love him. Hey, what does it take to be smart? Think about that. What does it take to be smart? I printed this little phrase on your bulletin, but I'm going to put it up on the screen. What is valued beyond all value? What was before there was? Now, we've probably given this up because you've seen the title of today's message. But that little riddle is a fun one to give us some idea what wisdom is. What is valued beyond all value? What was before there was? And you might know some of that riddle. You might be surprised to learn of another part of that. Because Proverbs 8 provides everything that is needed to organize your life. When you look at your house, and I'm talking about the one that you're dwelling in right now in your body, how are you? Are you healthy? How is your home? How are your finances? How is your family? How are the things that are happening in your work? If you need work, if you're single, how is that? What is going on in your life, in your home? Because wisdom says, I can teach you how to raise your children best. I can teach you how to live in retirement best. I can teach you how to be a good employer or a good employee. Wisdom says, come to me and I'm going to give you direction. And so today I divided the passage into five sections. And you have to listen closely to this message to know them, or you can use the key, but on the back of your bulletin if you want to take notes. If you like taking notes, it's back there so you can follow along. So let's look at the first section of Proverbs chapter 8. I brought my glasses because sometimes I can't. Well, no, I think I'm okay. It's far enough away now. I'm all right. I can walk away from this. My arms aren't long enough sometimes now that I've gotten to be this age. I'll tell you a funny story. It was a number of years ago, and I was trying to read, and my wife looked at me, and she goes, here, try these glasses. Many of us know what I'm going to say. I thought, oh, wow. I didn't realize it was so bad. Okay, let's get back to this. Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 5 says this. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, Where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding." Here's the invitation. This first point is wisdom's invitation. She says, she's calling out to whoever is going to come to her. Is wisdom prejudice? Does she show favoritism? No. What's the verse say? She's on the mountaintop, basically, calling out at every path, at the gates, calling out for all to set their sights on her. How many of us have made dumb mistakes? Who is willing to raise their hand? Just about all of us, we've made dumb mistakes. Foolish decisions that we didn't set our sights on wisdom. Back years ago, I used to work at the airlines, an airline called PSA. Anybody remember PSA? Pacific Southwest. I worked at San Francisco Airport. It was the Smile Liner, believe it or not. Those that are younger, they put smiles on planes back then. I was working. I had moved over to Oakland's airport, and I was working in that airport where there was a new guy that came on, and we had the graveyard shift. It was just the two of us. In Oakland, everybody left. In San Francisco, there was always somebody around. But in Oakland, everybody left. It was just the two of us. It was my second night in Oakland, so I was a little unfamiliar with things. And this new guy came on, and I was training him how to clean planes because the planes were parking overnight. His name was Kevin, so I remember that. He came on, and I'm teaching him how to do things, and I showed him the emergency exit, you know, and they have these little sections at the bottom that you have to release those. Otherwise, if you open the door, you get the nice big slide that pops out. And I said, "Don't worry about that. I've got that." And as we cleaned the plane, I got done with the first plane, and I said, "Kevin, why don't you go next door and start on the other plane?" So I wrapped up the plane that we had been on, and I was pulling the jetway away from the plane, and I heard this big bang. Kind of a little explosion. And I went outside and I looked over at the other plane, and Kevin came out and he looked at me and he says, "I did it." I'm like, "What did you do?" And I ran over there, and he had tried to open the door without disengaging the emergency, and he had popped out that big slide. I had a moment that I thought I should jump on that slide, at least try it. That's the only time in my life. I made a wise decision there. But that night, we were the only ones there. And I looked, I thought, who should we call? I don't know who to call. I'm new here. Back in those days, I was about 19 years old doing that. And I looked around in the office, but I didn't use my head. We went back out. I said, "Well, let's just clean this plane." So we cleaned the plane. Meanwhile, that door is open and the slide is out. It started to rain. It's probably 12 or 1 in the morning. And I said, "Okay, we're done." And we went home. Now, most of you here think, "Oh, you went home." So I got a call about 6:30 in the morning. "Kevin, it looks like you had a little problem last night," which I had forgotten about. I slept really well. And they said, "Why don't you come on in? We need to talk." And the foolishness that I did was left a problem like that, cost the airline lots of money in that moment, delayed the flights, all of that. And they said, "Why didn't you call somebody?" And I said, "Well, I didn't have any numbers." Well, in that office, if I had just opened my eyes and searched and knew that I was responsible, I would have seen many different numbers I could have called. And even then, if I didn't, I could have called my good friend who actually got me the job, who worked for the airlines. That was not very wise. It was very foolish. You see, what is one of the worst mistakes you have ever made in your life? We've all been foolish, or we've made dumb decisions, and yet, especially if you would have just sought out a little advice, if you had just taken a little bit more time, maybe you could have avoided that embarrassment in that bad decision. Here, wisdom's invitation has been sent out, and there's no RSVP needed. She says, "Come to me. I'm calling out to the simple or the foolish to seek wisdom for your life." So I can look at you, I don't even know you, and I can tell you, not only do I need wisdom, I know you need wisdom. We all need wisdom. And that's why this subject is in this book for all of our decisions. In fact, it talks about wisdom and understanding, and you see these words connected together in the books of wisdom in the Bible often. Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is a skill and a trade in life, in intellectual or spiritual things. You could call it good sense in life. Wisdom isn't just knowing what to do, it's actually how to do it. And then understanding, it's insight and reason, the ability or skill. And wisdom and understanding, they work together really well. They're different, but they're really closely connected. And wisdom and understanding are often found in those books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Why wouldn't we want to become familiar with them? Just think about it. Is our society largely wise or foolish? There's no way to have a definitive answer on that. I think we can all use our minds, and when we think of our society, we think of politics, we think of education, we think of a lot of different things. Do people around us need wisdom, though? Does our culture have a great grasp on pursuing wisdom and showing how to make right decisions? Does our social media empires really promote wisdom? No, we know that. And yet, right here, wisdom is inviting us to seek her out. That's an incredible thought. It's a profound thought, actually, if you consider that. So that's the first thing that wisdom provides. But there's a second one, wisdom's virtues. Look at the next section, verses 6 through 11. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. You see, wisdom has virtues. These behaviors that show these high moral standards, goodness and morality and uprightness and integrity. These virtues of truth and honesty and justice and integrity and instruction and knowledge are provided us when we obtain wisdom. Remember that riddle? What is valued beyond all value? What does it say here? More than rubies, more than gold. You have all of this at your disposal. Who is the greatest example of wisdom in the Bible? Those that have been in the Bible, have been a Christian a while, you know this, right? Solomon. Solomon. And Solomon was the one in the Bible. If you're not familiar with this guy named Solomon, incredible man, son of David, the greatest king of Israel. And God says, what do you want? Solomon asked for anything. And this is what Solomon said in 1 Kings 3. A discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. I want to have understanding to lead your people, God. And for me, I'm not sure I would have asked that. Today, I hope I would ask that. Because with wisdom came more. He didn't ask for power. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for prestige, but with wisdom came this great opportunity for Solomon, and he was given so much more than that. His character paved the way for his future. He had learned from his father enough to know he needed wisdom. And when the Christian wants to grow in their spiritual character, when you as a believer in Christ want to grow in your spiritual character, in love and obedience, in honesty, in integrity, with your friends, with your enemies, with your boss, with your employee, with any of those things, should wisdom be part of that plan? Obviously, yes. We all know that. But the question then is, what am I doing to develop a godly reputation and behavior that reveals my intention to love wisdom? Can you ask yourself that question? What are you doing to love wisdom? Seek those virtues. So listen, we have wisdom's invitation and wisdom's virtues. There's a third one here. It's called wisdom's rewards. There's rewards with wisdom. Look at verses 12 through 21. We're not going to read all of these, but it says this in 12 through 21. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. And he goes on to continue to talk about these rewards for knowing wisdom. Who would not want to benefit from having wisdom as spoken here? Because wisdom hates all evil. It hates pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. On the other hand, wisdom provides some other things. Look at even verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I mean, she walks in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. Wisdom. These are all the benefits. She's the best guide for life. She's a true Lady Justice. She's the greatest advisor. She's a powerful security. And she's an honest and faithful friend who provides for all of life. That's who wisdom is. When was the last time you asked for her? Think about it. Man, I should be asking for wisdom every single day, but I don't. Honestly, I think if I reflect on this, I want to ask for wisdom from God every single day, but I know I haven't. But this is how you get her. Listen, all this is true, but Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So God gives wisdom. And James, this fantastic passage from James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. So this isn't something that we have to dig down deep. We can't pay for it. This isn't something that we have to go searching somewhere, and if we don't come from the right family, we don't have it. Anybody can have it, and all you have to do is what? Ask. Ask God. God, give me wisdom. When was the last time you asked for her? I had a few college guys that came to my, they sometimes will be at my house. A few of them came over last night. They needed to borrow a pizza cutter. They came over, and we were talking last night, and not last night, this is about a year ago, and it was getting late. It was like 11. I'm like, you guys, you got to go. I got to get my budget done. I got to go back and do my finances for the month. And they went, oh, and then they started another subject. They're like, oh, money. I only have $11 in my checking account, you know. I don't have any. Man, how do you do that? How do you make your budget work? How do you protect your money, or how do you plan? And I said, well, are you guys serious? You really want to know how to do that? And I said, okay, for the next month, just save all your receipts. And I said, okay, in a month, we're going to get together. And we did. So these guys were asking for wisdom in their finances, and how can they learn how to do that? And it was incredible to see some of them through that process, how that actually provided some rewards for them, even today. I was just talking about it with one of them. Learning how to do wisdom, and they were asking for that. You see, wisdom loves all who love her, and those who truly seek her find her. So that question back to you, are you seeking wisdom? What are you doing to find her? And if you were to ask me, besides prayer and asking God for wisdom, it's going to those books of wisdom in the Bible, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, books that Job provides wisdom. Oh, Job is awesome. I've read it once, and I'm like, okay, that was all right. I like the first part and the last part. But then I started reading it again and again about 3, 4, 5 times through. I'm like, wow, this is solid stuff. And, of course, the rest of those books. So wisdom is provided. We have wisdom's invitation, we have her virtues, and we have her rewards. But there's another thing, and something that I had never known. It was wisdom's beginning in Proverbs 8, verses 22 through 31. Where did wisdom come from? Oh, God. Good answer. You're in Sunday school. Perfect answer. But let's look more specifically. Look at verses 22 through 23. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Have you ever heard that? It's talking about wisdom. Before his deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundaries so that water would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Have you ever read that before? What is valued beyond all value? What was before there was? Do you see how that riddle comes into play? We see God creating wisdom, and I think of that, and I think that's a crazy thought. How did God create? No, God is wisdom. God had wisdom, and yet I think what that's saying, it's not saying that God didn't ever have wisdom until he created it. I believe it's saying that God, for this life in this earth, wisdom is established. Wisdom is brought forth. Wisdom is brought up, and wisdom now experiences the creation account. Wisdom comes through in this. And the passage uses three different verbs to describe this action of being created. The first one is in verse 22. It says, wisdom was brought forth. Brought forth means to get or to acquire. In fact, in some of your translations, it might mean to possess or to create. Wisdom was brought forth in that moment. Secondly, in verse 23, wisdom was formed or appointed. It was installed in a prominent position. How many of us are like, wow, okay, God put that in a position that was prominent. It also means to be woven or formed. That might remind you of another passage from the Psalms. And thirdly, verse 24, it was given birth. She was given birth, and it's from a verb meaning to writhe or twist with the pains of childbirth. And I think of Psalm 139, for God created me in my mother's womb, right? And that he formed me. We were woven together, and that's how wisdom was planned out. This is what Solomon talks about of where wisdom comes from. Wisdom's beginning. In fact, it'd be accurate to state that it was the method or system by which God created the world and everything in it. And yet he provides that to you and I, that wisdom. Does that shape, or how does that shape even, my idea of its importance? Because the Bible says it came before the watery depths, the springs of water, the mountains, the hills, the heavens, the sky, the clouds, the rain, the moon and stars. That's where wisdom is. She delighted in mankind. And I look and I review this passage, and it's seeking and utilizing, accessing, understanding, promoting wisdom in my life should be a top priority. And yet, for many of us at times, that may not be the case. I mean, we can look at the other people outside of the church, those who are not believers in Christ, and say, well, certainly they don't use wisdom. But if you look at the church, oftentimes, believers in Christ, how have you done using wisdom in every decision in your life? We failed at times. That doesn't mean we're thrown away. But it doesn't mean that we can avoid this great tool at our disposal that God says it's free, just take it, ask for it. And that's what the power of this wisdom is. So there's this one last piece of wisdom I want to share with you, and it was the title of today's message, Wisdom's Promises. So not only do you get all those things that are connected to wisdom, but there are some promises associated with having her. And these are the promises. Now then, verse 32. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. And those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. Wow, Solomon, really? That's kind of powerful words. I mean, death? But that's the reality of it. See, these promises of wisdom, there's three things mentioned here. The first in verses 32 and 34 says blessing. Who doesn't want to be blessed? Who doesn't want to have the blessing of God? And blessed, in fact, means the happiness due to the kindness of God. I'm not sure I grasp the kindness of God so much in my life. The idea that God wants to be kind to me. That's wisdom. That's the blessing of God. And when I acquire wisdom, the promise of that is the blessing of God, his kindness and favor upon me. I want that. The second thing is life. In verse 35, what he says there is it's truly in the physical and emotional realm we can be alive or fresh or strong. I just planted some plants. Maybe many of you have planted some flowers, planted some things in your garden, water them. You got this fresh look, and you see your expectations to see them grow, and you see life. That's the kind of life we're talking about in our own lives. There is a promise of truly living when we let wisdom guide our steps. True living. That's a powerful promise. And the third promise is favor from God. Verse 35, so that God delights in us and that he accepts us. Do you know that God delights in you? And the more wisdom you acquire, the more that you seek that from the Lord, he delights in you. He's like, this is my child. And they are gaining wisdom. And as they gain wisdom, God's blessings and his life and his favor are upon us. His kindness, his delight, and his acceptance. We're in good step with God when we are accepting wisdom. That's the promise. There's a fourth promise. It's a negative one. We all saw it. We read it earlier. Because if I fail to seek wisdom, that means I'm actually harming myself. If I hate wisdom, I love death. I'm not really interested in life if I'm not seeking wisdom, if I'm not valuing wisdom, if I'm not holding it up. And that reminded me of the passage from Deuteronomy. It was Moses, as I kind of take a couple minutes to wrap this up. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you." He's speaking to the children of Israel. He's like, "I've led you to here, and now I've given you the law. I've got you at this place. This is what I want to tell you. This is God's word to you. I have set before you," what? "Life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." But he says it's up to you. And today the same question is for you. Who will you choose? Do you choose God, and not just the God that so many people talk about on TV and celebrities, "I love God, God is good," you know, all that. I'm seeing, do you really understand the creator of the universe enough to know how much he loves you and that he wants to have a relationship with you, to walk with you, to give you wisdom, to give you blessing and life and his favor so that you would then see life, not death, that you would see blessings and not curses, so that you and your children would live and that you would love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And really that's the main emphasis here from Proverbs chapter 8. All these 5 points come to fruition in our lives if we are diligent in seeking that from God, seeking her wisdom from God. So look at your life. Think about the areas that you could use wisdom. So some of you are probably raising children or maybe even grandchildren. I've just got there now. You need encouragement, right? And discipline. You need training. Maybe you need some principles for life. you need wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Maybe you're an employee. You need to be smart about decisions. You need to be diligent with your time and effort. You need to follow directions. You need to do your best. You need to put that in place. You need wisdom. Ask God for it. If you're looking for work, you need wisdom to know, how do I show myself faithful on social media? How do I be diligent in seeking work? How am I going to present myself to somebody? You need wisdom. Ask God for it. Maybe you're an employer, and you need to know how to train your people well. You need to know how to be just with your employees and fair with your employees. And in your leadership, you need wisdom. You need to ask God for that. I imagine that we have some people married here. Maybe in other relationships. It's your neighbors. It's marriage. It's in singleness. It's with those people around you, all in those. You need direction on how to live with your spouse. You need direction on how do I live with others when I'm trying to figure them out. Never mind how they're trying to figure you out. And you want to be smart about what you do or don't say. You need wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. And if you make money, this is the last one. I think we all know that planning and direction and preparing and spending whenever or wherever, or preparing for it. Like those young men came to me, maybe it's just knowing I need wisdom in my finances, so I need to ask God for that. And as we ask God, God's going to direct us, and you've probably seen this in your life. As you ask God for those things, he's going to direct you to the right person. He's going to direct you to the right book or the right verse and give you what you need in that moment to make wise decisions, because wisdom is there for the taking. It's to anybody. There's no prejudice with it. All we got to do is ask God for it and keep your eyes fixed on him to make sure that you are, and I just continue to seek that very thing that actually provides for all of life. Don't forget, it was created by God. It was given to us from the beginning. It was there as God created the earth. It is not a question if we could use it in our life to see more things happen as a result. Make sense? All right. That's what my promise, or that's what this passage is for you today. And to ask you again, the promises are life. So if you want it, go get it. Amen? God, thank you. Lord, today, as we have, as we just open up this passage and look at wisdom and look at your Proverbs and see how you want to work in our lives, I pray, God, that you would be the one that is providing for me in my life. And I believe for just about every person here, they don't want to be foolish. They don't want to seek death. They want to seek life. And they want to see how wisdom applies and impacts all that they do, all that they say, the decisions they made. And I pray that we will not forget, that we'll be reminded constantly of the need for these promises from your word with wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.